workers to achieve common goods and protect their interests, turning rights into reality. We will also offer analysis of labor's role in global inequity, imperialism, and genocide. From 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., hosts Julianne Malveaux, Joni Eisenberg, Elise Bryan and Chris Garlock, and Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash bring you the voices of workers and those organizing throughout the labor movement. From 3 until 11 p.m., we offer a sonic reflection of labor in solidarity provided by our all-women DJ collective meeting in the ladies' room. Workers' rights are human rights on your station for jazz and justice. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
At 89.3 FM, this is member-supported WPFW, Washington.
Joni, and we have a very special To Heal DC show in store for you today, and definitely we'll be talking about the union being right there behind us and with us. Of course, this week, August 28th, has a lot of meaning in history, which we will be talking about throughout the show. Before we begin, I just want to mention that today is the first day of school for young people in D.C. There was a very powerful press conference with Free D.C. and Harriet's Wildest Dreams with about 30 young people talking about their demands and their needs for support during this takeover of our city. So we want to thank them, and we will be sharing that in the future. But right now, I'm very excited to introduce our two guests. Two guests who I consider and who are heroes in this community. First of all, we want to welcome Sam Epps, who is the president of the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO, representing 150,000 workers in the DMV. And we're very glad he could join us today. We're going to be asking him to say a few words in a moment. But I also wanted to welcome another hero in our community, Reverend William Lamar IV, pastor of the Metropolitan AME Church. And our theme for this morning is to talk about the role of D.C. labor and the D.C. faith communities in building resistance against this federal takeover. And, of course, they'll have a lot to share. I just want, before we jump into it, we're going to hear a special word from Sam in a moment about the situation with Kilmar Abrego Garcia, which the Metropolitan AFL-CIO has been very involved in. But let me just take a moment to have each guest say a little bit about their organization. Let me start with Reverend William Lamar. Reverend Lamar, your church, the Metropolitan AME, has very historic meaning. So could you just share a word or two about your pride in the Metropolitan AME Church over more than 100 years?
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jody, for the opportunity. And good morning, President Epps, and to the entire listening audience of WPFW. Thank you for this extraordinary community, community committed to justice, committed to the arts, jazz and justice. Jazz is justice. The arts do expand our humanity and allow us to connect, to imagine and build ways of being together that do not extract, exploit, or oppress. And I'm also glad to be with the union movement and President Epps. So Metropolitan is 187 years old. We have been in our present site since 1887. We exist on the longest continuously held parcel of property owned by persons of African descent in the capital of the American Empire. And from the very beginning, our work has been a work of creativity, a work of theological, spiritual, political, and economic creativity. It has been a work of collective economics. We built the church. We imagined it exists, its existence and its existence to extend to all human beings light, love, protection, and salvation. Let me be very clear. Not salvation as it has been taught by white evangelicals like Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell, where you're waiting for some pie in the sky. But salvation means exactly what the union does. It means economic security and joy in the here and now. We have been building human beings compelled by spirit to extend joy and abundance to all, to push back on American excess, to push back on American capitalism, to push back on white hegemony, and to offer hospitable space for everyone. That's who we are. That's who we strive to be. But we cannot do it alone. We're not an insular community. We're not chauvinists. We know we need all people, people of many faiths, no faiths, all organizations to build the world that our ancestors began us dreaming about many years ago. And I'm thankful to be here and to represent this wonderful community I'm privileged to serve.
And thank you, Reverend Lamar. If you could just briefly, and we have very little time, but if it's appropriate for you to share your victory, we'll call it, with the Proud Boys.
Oh, yeah, very quickly. Yeah, we sued the Proud Boys when they desecrated our sacred space. We won a judgment. They refused to pay. So we went back and sued them again. And now we own, Metropolitan owns the Proud Boys logo, insignia, and trademarked intellectual property. It is owned by us, and it is work that we've done in continuation, especially of the work of Black women who sued the Klans years ago when their sons were lynched, and many of them became owners of Klan property and Klan wealth. And so that is who we are, and we are pleased to take the fight to these persons who would keep us from thriving in community.
Thank you very much, Reverend William Lamar IV. We're happy to have you with us. As Sam Epps, we're going to give you a special round of applause and cheers for the work you are doing. The president of the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO. And if you could just tell us a little bit about the council, and then if you would like to briefly give us an update about what's happening with Kilmar Abrego Garcia. But welcome, and tell people who may not know about the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO.
Good morning, Joni. I'm certainly glad to be here. I am glad to be with Pastor Mar. It seems like today you have two individuals who have a suffix of the fourth. I am a fourth, so it's certainly proud to be here with Reverend Lamar. The Metropolitan Washington Council represents 150,000 workers, 150 local affiliate unions here in the D.C. metropolitan area, in D.C., Prince George's County, Montgomery, and three Southern Maryland counties, Charles, Calvert, and St. Mary's. The Metropolitan Council was founded in 1896 by 13 local unions. We were chartered in 1896. And as you can see, we have a long history of bringing freedom, fairness, and security for all workers, and especially Black and Brown workers. We have a large portion of our membership in our region who are Black, who are women, who have been under attack by this administration. Over 300,000 Black women have lost their jobs because of this administration. And so we are here standing up and fighting back. And we also joining in partnership with our faith community. Reverend Lamar and I have had conversation about this. There has been a blueprint. It has been done by our ancestors who have been in a struggle, and the partnership for the many gains that we have in this country has came out of a labor faith partnership. And so I am so glad to be here on this show today with WPFW and your listeners to talk about that and how we how workers and faith really resist and strive for the beloved community that we all want to live in. So thank you for being here. And then, you know, this morning or over the weekend, Brother Garcia, who is a Smart 100 member, was released from the Tennessee jail, and he has been able to spend time with his family over the weekend. He was asked to report to ICE hearing or check-in today, and this administration is now saying that he will be deported, and he will be deported to Uganda because he did not accept, you know, their plea deal. They now want to deport him to Uganda. And so that's where we are. His lawyers and our communities, both labor, faith, immigrant rights communities, are working to continue to fight and show just how inhumane and injustice and the injustice that's taking place, not only with Brother Garcia, but all Black and Brown individuals in our communities. So
absolutely.
That's where we are right now, John.
And we want to thank you. We, the community, want to thank you in particular, Sam Epps and the Metropolitan Washington Council's AFL, for standing up for Kilmar Abrego Garcia from day one. And we know you will continue to do that. And we will do whatever we can to support you. And we're going to, in a moment, have you share a very important march and rally that is happening this Thursday, August 28th. We're going to get to that in a moment. And again, the focus of this show hopefully will be to really dig deeper into the role of DC labor and the faith community in building resistance against this federal takeover of Washington, DC. And for those listeners who have not been seeing the horrifying pictures of young Black and Brown people being just attacked and beaten throughout the weekend, it's very horrifying. But we know that we can stand together and do more. So perhaps let's jump right in back with Sam to share with people, and we'll come back to it again. But to share about the what's happening August 28th, this Thursday.
Yes, This Thursday is the kickoff to the Metropolitan Washington Council's what we call in solidarity season. It's our week of action for Labor Day. You know, for us, Labor Day is not about sales. It's not about the commercial part of what Labor Day has turned into. This year, we want to really take back Labor Day, and it's for workers. And so this August 28th at 4 p.m., we'll kick off our Labor Day week of action, solidarity seasons, workers over billionaires. And that is what this is about, is that in DC, workers, not billionaires, make DC run. And if you're a construction worker, government worker, hotel worker, you make our city run. Teachers. And so that's what this event is about. And there's an overlay about workers making the city run. And it's not the federal government. It is not this takeover. So there is an overlay to this. It's apropos that this is kicking off at this moment. Mm-hmm. But it is also about the billionaires who are funding this administration, you know, snatching individuals up, putting them in private prisons or camps that are being funded by the Jeff Bezos of the world. And so we are really taking this to the streets now. And we've asked all of our partners. We have partners from Free DC to labor unions, to community groups, Metropolitan AME is a co-sponsor as well too. So it is a cross section of our community saying no to billionaires and billionaires buying our political system and our democracy. And so that's what this Thursday's event will kick off, and it'll go, and then we'll have events all the way through Labor Day as well too.
Okay, great. We'll ask you to come back with the details later in the show. But let's jump to Reverend Lamar. And of course, many of you do remember, some of you don't, that August 28th, 1963, there was a huge march called by Dr. King. People came from all over the country. And that's one reason that August 28th is a special day. It also happens to be this year, the 70th anniversary of the murder of Emmett Till, so also happened on August 28th. That's the reason why Dr. King selected August 28th for that march. But we want to dig a little deeper today on how labor and the faith communities can continue to build the resistance against this federal takeover. And I know Reverend Lamar had a very powerful editorial that I think it was in the Washington Post a week or two ago. But Reverend Lamar, jump in and share with us how you envision continuing to build and strengthen this resistance by collaboration with labor. Labor and faith communities, it's often said, in fact, Free DC often reminds people that the three key elements to building a strong movement are, of course, involving youth, but they also always say involving labor and the faith community. So we still have a ways to go to all work together, but we're getting there. So, Rev Lamar, what would you mean?
Well, let me share. First of all, I know President Epps would know more about this than I, but I have been fascinated with the fact that the same people that built labor, especially as African Americans began to organize and join labor, the people that built the church, Black women. Black women organized domestic strikes, Black domestic workers, women who kept the economy moving by taking care of households and businesses, ensuring cleanliness, health, vibrancy. They had power that they leveraged in multiple places. They were the ones that helped to build Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church. The the president mentioned ancestry. And I want to do this genealogy from those domestic workers to the fact that A. Philip Randolph, one person has said, the greatest organizer and socialist in the history of America. He grew up in the AME church. Now, he himself he separated with religion. And I think for good reason, because religion often does not do, the faith community often abandons what we were created to do. But he remembered as a child hearing Henry McNeil Turner, who said God is a Negro, and who helped to found, who's one of the early founding pastors of one of the churches, actually one of the churches that became Metropolitan, and was there when Metropolitan was dedicated. A. Philip Randolph heard Henry McNeil Turner, who died in 1915, preach when he was a young boy in Florida. I say all this to say that you cannot speak of labor without the best of the prophetic tradition in the church. You cannot speak of that tradition without labor. And when you talk about August 28th, 1963, A. Philip Randolph,
yes,
really was the grand man of that movement, knew how to be a good elder. He ceded the platform to a young Martin Luther King, and they named that march the March for Jobs and Freedom. Jobs. You cannot be free without the kind of jobs that President Epps and the people that he represents are building and ensuring that other people have ladders to. And so we cannot separate the job from the freedom from the job. And I would say the salvation, the material salvation that WPFW makes possible, is connected to the economic salvation that President Epps and so many of us are connected to. And so we've got to, President Epps came to me, it's been some months ago, saying we've got to reconnect, and in the language that we use, restory this connection between labor and the faith community. So it really excites me, because there are so many places of intersection and there is so much good work to be done.
Absolutely. Reverend William Lamar IV, the pastor of the Metropolitan AME Church, makes an excellent point. And A. Philip Randolph, I believe, spoke with President Roosevelt talking about this march idea many decades before it happened. And thankfully, right now, it's there now, the statue of A. Philip Randolph. I go and visit him whenever I'm at Union Station. I sit sit in front of the statue and give a kind of talk with him. I wish I had the words in front of me, but he gives on that statue is a very powerful statement about organizing. Well, hopefully they're not going to take it away anytime soon, but go, if you haven't seen it, go and visit A. Philip Randolph at Union Station. Sam Epps, let's try to talk a little bit about how do we amplify. I know you're doing a lot, and the faith community is doing a lot, but how do we, or what ideas might you have for amplifying, working together and continuing this very serious resistance that we need to carry out?
Mr. President, can I jump in real quick? I looked up that quote. That quote says, you get what you take and you keep what you can hold. You get what you take and you keep what you can hold is what the statute says. I had to jump in there, Ms. President.
Absolutely. Thank you, Reverend Lamar. Yes, and we need to remember that quote always. And again, I really encourage people to go and look at that statue. It's very inspiring. So Sam, anything you'd like to share about what you envision to continue to build this resistance to this federal takeover of DC? And in a moment, we're going to bring in, someone's going to jump in from New Jersey, Larry Hamm with the People's Organization for Progress, who is interested in showing his solidarity in New Jersey, and at some point bringing some buses from New Jersey. But I'm wondering, before we jump to Larry, Sam, what other visions do you have or hopes that you have for continuing to build this resistance and having everybody or key people working together, key organizations?
Yes, as Reverend Lamar noted, me and him have been having discussions around faith and labor. You know, the AFL has a faith and religious personnel and staff at our national AFL. And so one of the things that many of our bodies across the country are doing this Labor Day is faith in the pulpit. And so it is to really connect our church, our labor with the church, which has never left. It just has to be rekindled and restored, as Reverend Lamar has said. And that many of our rank and file members worship, and also connecting it back to our history. And I'm reading a book right now. I'm listening to an audio book right now on 1963. Actually, let me pull that name of that book so I can share it with your listeners here. And basically what happened in 1963 is labor, it's freedom season, how 1963 transformed American civil rights movement. And in that year, many of our major gains that we got economically, legislatively, and how we progressed happened in 1963. And it happened, the roadmap is there, it happened when in 1963, I can't think of the month, but in Cleveland, Ohio, major denominations and labor came together and sat down and they talked through what were some major places and fundamental values that both labor and faith had that they could work together on. And they came out and they worked through that. And that's where you see that our country moved and our democratic values, all that, our civil rights legislation that came out, many of them that I benefited from in college, Title IX, and all those things that came out. And so that's what we're really looking, you know, as I'm leading the Metropolitan Washington Council, is to get back to a model like that, because also labor cannot do it alone as well too. We are all in this together. This fight is not just one fight. It's all of our fights. And so that is, you know, one of my visions is that we will have a stronger partnership and working relationship with our faith communities across our region.
Okay, you're listening to WPFW Radio 89.3 FM, Jazz and Justice. This is Joni with To Heal DC, a very special show today. Indeed, we are talking about the role of DC labor and the DC faith communities in building and continuing to build the resistance against this federal takeover of DC. And of course, building the resistance against a lot more, including ending this genocide in Gaza, etc. But today we're really looking at this federal takeover as we are seeing it in real time, each and every day. I'm going to ask my friend Larry Hamm to jump on for a moment as we talk about augmenting our strategies. And of course, when some of us are old enough to remember 1963, and I certainly remember buses coming from all over, certainly all over the East Coast. I was in New York City, and I remember the buses leaving for D.C. And so it was, of course, D.C. means different things. So we are the center of this situation right now, very serious. So Larry Hamm with the People's POP from Newark, New Jersey, if you could jump in and just share your solidarity that I've heard you express with what's happening in D.C., and perhaps your thoughts about in the future, bringing in people from other states such as New Jersey.
Good Welcome morning, ahead. Joni. And good morning. It's good to be on your show. Good morning, President Epps, and good morning, Reverend Lamar. It's great to be with you. And yes, I feel that the struggle.
But Larry, just tell people what the POP is.
Okay. All right. The People's Organization for Progress is an all-volunteer grassroots organization that works for racial, social, economic justice and peace. We were founded 43 years ago in 1982. We are a multi-issue organization. We've been characterized as a civil rights and human rights organization, and we're probably best well known for our work in New Jersey around the issue of police brutality. And people in the listening audience can find out more about POP just by Googling People's Organization for Progress or going to our website, www.njpop.org. And I'd like to say that Washington, D.C. is my hometown. I was born in Washington, D.C., and my mother, Teresa Burton, passed away 2 years ago in May of 2023. And Reverend Lamar, I was at your church in February. We came down with two busloads of people for the hands-off rally that was at the Reflecting Pool, I believe. But we stopped at Metropolitan on the way in, and you were there with Bishop Jackson, who I know very well. He was the Reverend of St. Matthew's AME Church, and he was one of the leaders of the Million Man March coalition that we had in New Jersey. So I just want to say that I think the struggle in D.C. is of paramount importance. I mean, it is so ironic. For so many years, I've been coming to marches in Washington for all kinds of issues, and certainly on the anniversary of the Great March on Washington for jobs, peace, and freedom. The irony is that at a point when our people are under military occupation, we don't have a national mobilization to Washington. And I really want to show solidarity. I'd like to work with President Epps and Reverend Lamar on some future action where we could mobilize folks from New Jersey and perhaps the greater metropolitan area here in the Northeast to come down to Washington, D.C., because I think that's where the fight is right now with Trump essentially eliminating home rule, federalizing the police, mobilizing National Guard and Marines, and now all of these former Confederate states piling on and sending additional troops, and they're there arresting people. And I was just reading in the New York Times today how for very minor misdemeanors, yes, they're trying to put federal charges on people. I think this is just outrageous, yeah, and I really want to show my solidarity in any way I can.
Can I jump in there?
Yes, please
do. Answer his question. As I talk about this week of action starts on the 28th, on September 6th, which bookends the week of Labor Day, there will be a mobilization and there will be a mobilization rally. And that rally in March will be called We Are All DC. We know that this federal takeover is just a blueprint, and he's already talking about Chicago, Baltimore, and other cities to take over and send military in. And so we have begun locally organizing this mobilization, but we have received solidarity all the way to Boston, right? And so, Joni, you could connect us by email, yes, and I certainly can get you that information. Again, Metropolitan AME is a co-sponsor of that mobilization as well on that Saturday as well too. And so it is getting a lot of attention, but that is one of our mass mobilization that we will have local, really a strong local showing, but I know there's national interest of individuals coming in to show solidarity and be with us on that day.
Oh, that's terrific. Okay, and Larry may come down anyway on Thursday, but that's great to know that you're thinking about expanding the mobilization.
Yes. Would it be okay for me to come down on the 28th?
You'll come down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Because I am, I'm gonna go. There's a march on Wall Street in the morning, but I'm gonna leave that early, and I would like to drive down to D.C. and stand in solidarity with you on the 28th.
Yes, great, Larry. We have one caller that I'm going to welcome on with a round of applause. We're not really taking calls, but again, we're talking with Reverend William Lamar IV, pastor of the Metropolitan AME Church, and Sam Epps IV, president of the Metro Council AFL-CIO. And we have another one of our esteemed programmers and heroes from WPFW, Ambrose Eidlane Jr. Ambrose Eidlane Sr. was on our airwaves for many decades. But Ambrose, welcome. You have a
comment you'd
like to share. Great.
Yeah. Well, we you and I talked about this at length, and I just wanted to share. First of all, I got to say hi to Brother Chairman Sam and to Reverend Lamar. It is a pleasure to be able to talk with both of you. And of course, Joni, I'm just getting out the hospital, so I'm finally home.
Good.
And so I wanted to share about your conversation because last week I got a call from the leader of the Wednesday clergy, who is Reverend Tucker. And he wanted to pick my brain about what we should do, what kind of reaction we should have in the event that there was a takeover like the one that we are seeing. And one of the first things that I said to him is that the movement must be led by labor and clergy. That's the first thing I said to him. It must be led by labor and clergy. Because he had read some of the writings that I had put out there about this. And I even advocated a certain way that we need to look at this by shutting down the district. And I talked about, first of all, pulling together the leadership of various sectors like labor, the clergy, community-based organizations, advocacy organizations. It doesn't have to be one big meeting, but everyone must be reached. And then we plan to shut the city down one sector at a time weekly like this, like hotel workers 1 week, sanitation workers the next week, metro operators the next week, citywide student sit-ins the next week, city government unionized workers the next week, and restaurants the next week, and just rinse and repeat until the city is shut down and they pull these troops out. I also did some research, and I want to share this with the audience because this is so important. D.C. is not the most dangerous city in the United States. There's a list of the dangerous cities in the United States. Yeah. The first one is Memphis, Tennessee. And so the president is not seeking to put troops in the most dangerous places. He is only seeking to undermine the leadership of cities led by black mayors.
So, yes, Ambrose, you can stay on, but I'm sorry, we only have about 10 minutes left. But Ambrose makes a good point, very good point, and of course we have to figure out ways which we can continue to collaborate. But Sam Epps and Reverend Lamar, you want to comment on how we can start collaborating to consider implementing some of the strategies such as those that Ambrose suggested?
President Epps, you want to jump in first? I can follow you.
Yeah, I think we saw this in the civil rights movement, right? That strategy like this happened in the church. Churches were used, and I think now I actually am aware of. I was with Dr. Tucker. I think on Friday, Thursday or Friday, they're running together. But and those ministers and pastors and leaders in the community as well, too. And I know that I'll be supporting their vigil that they'll be having on September 3rd at First Baptist of Deanwood. Right. And so the escalation that you're talking about, I think, is part of the strategy. And that's why we wanted to go with a week of action. There's community groups are in the streets all the time. But I think what we saw in the civil rights movement, they were disciplined, they were organized, and they had a plan. And I think you laid out some of that, but all of our sectors, faith, labor, community groups, and our general community also have to be ready and prepared to do that. And right now, I think people are moving out of the fear stage to an action stage. And now as leaders, we must have a plan for them. And I think labor and faith can step together and say, here is a plan. What else do we have to add to that? But here is the framework of a plan. And you have the moral leadership of our faith community, and you have labor who on their jobs. What this is all about is democracy and economics, right? and that's why Trump, you know, we have fought for democracy. Women have fought for democracy in the workplace and in the religious space. And so we must have that plan, and we must provide that leadership. The council is really is looking to convene and provide leadership for individuals to help escalate this and to resist this takeover, not only in DC, but around the country as well, too.
Absolutely. And of course, at some point, the young people need to be integrated into this movement. Now, it's understandable. I hate to say we're in silos, but certainly Free DC and Harriet's Wildest Dreams, mostly all young people, are out there in the streets day and night with large numbers of people. So as Sam knows, and we've worked together back in the for DC Emancipation Day, we have to have some kind of ideally some kind of process where there's a collaboration, ongoing communication and collaboration, at least maybe monthly, if not weekly. But Reverend Lamar, what would you have to say to what we're just talking about?
Well, let me. Thank you. As President Epps mentioned, some of the leaders, Dr. Tucker, Willie Wilson, Patty Fierce, so many others who have been on the ground, have stayed on the ground. Let me be very clear that you did this, Joni. We got to always remember what our comrade Gerald Horn teaches us, and that is we've got to be involved in international struggle. Mm-hmm. What we see here in Washington is a local iteration of an international struggle,
absolutely,
an international march of fascism, of bone-breaking, blood-sucking capitalism that destroys people and extracts value without appreciating who they are and what they give. And moving from that 50,000 foot view to the on the ground granular realities in which we find ourselves, there is a lot of strategy happening. And President Epps and Brother Hamm and so many others know this. There's a lot of strategy happening. And I think that some of what was mentioned by Brother Ambrose will coalesce. It will coalesce because, as we know, this Trump fascist regime has fixed their eyes upon the Windy City, the second city, upon Chicago. And we don't know where what the rhetoric might give birth to, but we're clear something will happen. More dominoes will fall as these politics of deception and distraction are unleashed. And so we prepare. We know, as President Epps and others who do movement work, that the America never does anything because it's right. It was never right to extract, to exploit, to enslave. That they changed course, sort of,
because pressure was brought to bear, because organization happened, and because movement happened. But again, there are always the seeds of undoing in every step they make toward justice. So you notice, and I'll say this, and I just spent time with my parents, who I am one generation removed from American apartheid. One generation. America has only pretended to try to extend citizenship to Black people for about 2.5 generations. And now they are taking away voting rights. They are taking away governmental protection of groups that have been exploited the same way they did in the post-Reconstruction era. We need to understand that these human cycles are created by human beings who do not wish to live in a multiracial, multicultural, multi-religious type of democratic reality. And it pains me to call America a democracy, because American democracy shares the same fatal flaw of Aristotelian democratic theory, and that is that everyone was included in democracy except for slaves and women. The American Democratic Project never wants to include all. Therefore, it is not democratic. We have to make it be democratic and then fight to hold democratic gains, because we think once we win, the fight is over. When we win, they go back to the laboratory of evil to figure out how to take it back to what it was. We got to stay on the good foot, as our brother James Brown said.
Yes, and we got to remember our history. This is not the first time that things like this have happened in this country. And, of course, we can go back be earlier than this, but the Civil War. And it's important for people to know, many people may remember that October 16th was the day of the Million Man March. But guess what? It was also the day that John Brown invaded Harper's Ferry. That same day. So we need to build from our history and take strength from our ancestors. And I want to, as we close that, I'm going to ask each person to make their final comment. But I'm going to ask Reverend Lamar and Sam Epps to please help us share with the PFW community these events that are going on. And if you could stay with me for a minute or two after the show, we need to have announcements. There's so much going on. And a lot of times our listeners don't hear about it until a few hours before the event. So we need a structured way to share what you are doing, including this Thursday, with our listeners. So I'm going to ask you, Sam, for your final comment, and to repeat what is happening on Thursday.
Thank you, Joni, and thank you to your listeners of WPFW for having me today. We are at a critical a moment in history, and right now labor is stepping up to help with the resistance of this takeover. And so the 28th, August 28th, 4 p.m., DuPont Circle, there will be a kickoff to our Labor Day Week of Action, Solidarity Season, Workers Over Billionaires. We will march to Logan Circle. Along the way, we'll have two stops with some action happening at locations at the Whole Foods, and then stopping at restaurant workers who are fighting for a contract at the El Diplomat. And this is about taking back our city. What we're seeing now is not safety. If this administration really cared about safety, they would not be firing workers. They would not be just grabbing and snatching people off the street without any due process. This is about freedom, fairness, and security. And that's what we're fighting for in partnership with our partners in the faith community, as well as our community writ large. So thank you for having me today. And those Week of Actions for us can be found at dclabor.org. We also are putting many of our actions on our free with our Free DC partners as well too. And so, as I said, the 28th is the kickoff. It books in on September 6th, with, We Are All DC, mobilization. The first initial one will be meeting at 11 a.m. at Malcolm X Park. We know that this is getting so big that we will have other, meetup points for individual, but that is the first one that we know. And we will march right down 16th Street to past the AFL to the White House and down to Freedom Plaza, because that's what we're fighting for, is freedom.
And President Epps, we want to really thank you. We know you've been through a lot, even in the last 24 hours. And so we are proud of you. We're thankful for you. If you could just mention before we leave, the other disturbing news we heard over the weekend is what the White House is doing with regards to the AFGE contracts. Could you just explain to listeners who do not know about that?
Yes, this administration is continuing its attack on federal workers, voiding contracts that were negotiated, and they're just completely voiding them in the name of national security. So they're using a loophole to void those contracts for workers, so they can go ahead and dismantle and fire workers that are disproportionately hitting Black and brown women in our federal government. And so that is what is going on.
And that'll be impact hundreds of thousands of workers. And again, the Federal Unionist Network, who's been on this show, and Sam works a lot with them, as do I, they will definitely be part of the rally and march on Thursday, Federal Unionist Network. And Sam and Reverend Lamar, if you could just stay on for a few minutes after the show. Reverend Lamar, your final words.
Yes, thank you again, Joni, for your good work. On Thursday the 28th at noon, we will do the internal and spirit work of preparing for the fight. So we invite the entire community to join us at noon at Metropolitan. Clergy will come. We will be in prayer together. We will be sharing joy together. We will feature Roland Martin and Reverend Dr. Jamal Harrison Bryan, who many of you follow with the Target work, will be with us as well. We want the entire community to join us. And we're asking also to be that we be in solidarity with our houseless community. You know, a lot of brothers and sisters now have moved from saying homeless. Homeless speaks to people not having connection, not having community. So many of our brothers and sisters, they are not without homes. They're without houses. Mm-hmm. And so we lift up our houseless community and those who are houseless, unhoused. And also, and President Epps has been on the front lines of this, as he is with Brother Kilmar, our immigrant community. There are those in immigrant communities who are afraid to go to the grocery store. They are not going to, they can't walk their kids to school. Churches are shutting down, and they are staging. This shows you the poison that is in some of our religious communities. Some of ICE staging happens from the parking lots of churches. And so we've got a lot of work to do. Literal, and some people may be uncomfortable with the language, but we have literal exorcisms. We've got to remove what animates this type of violence. So I look forward to working with you all, and we'll stay on the line.
Okay, great. We're going to go out with Mavis Staples, and I'm going to send this song especially to Sam Epps, but to all of us. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Magic Mike. Stay tuned for Mark Thompson, Make It Plain.
Like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. Union is behind us. We shall not be moved. The union is behind us. We shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. We're fighting for our freedom. We shall not be moved. Fighting for our freedom. We shall not be moved.
WPFW presents Labor Standing in Solidarity, Monday, September 1st, a day of programming centering the concept of collective action and mutual support among workers to achieve common goods and protect their interests, turning rights into reality. We will also offer analysis of labor's role in global inequity, imperialism, and genocide. From 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., hosts Julian Malveaux, Joni Eisenberg, Elise Bryan and Chris Garlock, and Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash bring you the voices of workers and those organizing throughout the labor movement. From 3 until 11 p.m., we offer a sonic reflection of labor in solidarity provided by our all-women DJ collective meeting in the ladies' room. Workers' rights are human rights on your station for jazz and justice. WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
Khan Karan Dance Company celebrates its 42nd annual National African Dance and Drum Conference, Coming Together as One, on Labor Day weekend from Friday, August 29th to Sunday, August 31st. The conference workshops will take place at the Washington Marriott Capitol Hill and will be taught by 20-plus master dancers and drummers from Senegal, Mali, Guinea, Liberia, and the Republic of Congo. This year's concert performance will take place on August 31st at 8 p.m. at Howard University's Crampton Auditorium and will feature guest artists from across the U.S. and Khan Karan's company and community class family. Details can be found at www.khankoran.org. That's KanKouran.org. Or by calling 202-518-1213. WPFW, where we are changing the world, one broadcast and one community event at a time.
Jazzy Sundays at Anacostia, an 8-week jazz and R&B concert series happening this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. in the heart of the Anacostia Arts District at 1234 Marion Barry Avenue. Food vendors will be on site and lawn chairs are welcome. Jazzy Sundays in Anacostia runs through Sunday, September the 7th. Details at anacostiabid.org.
I'm Jackie Lukeman, chairperson of the Black Alliance for Peace Coordinating Committee, with an editorial. Donald Trump imposed federal control of the Metropolitan Police Department and deployed the National Guard in Washington, D.C. under the pretext of public safety. This follows his March 2025 executive order establishing the Safe and Beautiful Task Force aimed at addressing crime in D.C. and after the Secure D.C. Omnibus Bill was passed, the latest in Democrat crime laws that have devastated marginalized communities, particularly Black, African, working class, and youth. Now Trump goes further and invokes law and order to justify military occupation. Militarized domestic occupation that advances as the U.S. and the West deepen their support for the Zionist genocide in Gaza, while they normalize repression of the global masses struggling against and resisting them. We must confront the colonial capitalist structures and oppressive class rule that made all of this possible. We must fight Trump's authoritarianism, but we must also fight Democrat tough-on-crime criminalization of poverty and dissent. And we must fight for a future where safety is not imposed by militarization,